Oh, yeah, okay, I should be in my seat now. Okay. Just put these on. That means radio professional, ladies and gentlemen, when you do that. Well, at $6 billion, Candy Crush worth more than Donald Trump. So, what do you know? Okay, that was good.
Live from the Monona Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, we welcome UW Anthropology Professor John Hawks, plus all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who, to his credit, is not the least bit interested in his credit score, Michael Feldman.
Yes, what credit score? All right, applaud if you have no idea what the reference to Candy Crush was all about. Applaud. Applaud if you do, but you didn't think it was funny. I don't think I can go on. All right, so Candy Crush. No Candy Crush. All right, and the rest of the news that isn't. When it comes to trusting their candidates with nuclear weapons, Republican voters say Huey, 39%, Dewey, 34%, and Gluey, 27%. Oh, yeah, like that's significant. How meaningful was that, really? Aren't you embarrassed? Dr. President Ben Carson said he's already used nuclear weapons. Would say no more. More emissions cheating software found in Porsches, but I swear, when I keep my Porsche at a steady 25 miles per hour in the city and turn it off at stops, I get 50 miles per gallon. More with a tailwind. 9/11, nice. A slumping Whole Foods will increase prices to enhance cachet. This is what I would tell them to do. Raise your prices. Don't think of cutting them. You got to make it even more worthwhile. Folks finally caught on that organic really means grown in poop. A lot of people didn't know. They thought it had something to do with organs or something. They didn't know. GOP is riding the transgender bathroom wave pretty hard. Full court press on transgender bathrooms for the GOP. You know, this would not even be a problem if everyone would simply sit down to pee. Don't mean to offer solutions. This just in, Dr. President Ben Carson said when he was a kid, an 8-foot tapeworm was pulled from his head. Said it was a record, and we are checking the record books to see if it is listed. Speaker Paulie Ryan installs wavy mirrors in out-of-perspective rooms to U.S. Funhouse of Representatives. Okay, $43 million for an Afghan filling station, but, you know, when you need the gas, you're glad it's there. All right. Jeb can fix it is the worst battle cry since the Alamos. I didn't hear nothing. Primatologists say chimps have a mid-Atlantic accent. That's interesting. You know, in the movies, the old movies, they weren't English, they weren't American, mid-Atlantic accent. And chimps do it too. Actually, Madison kids have a mid-Atlantic accent. Can't tell where they're from. And now I have two of them that are adult. You can tell they're not from Chicago, they're not from New York, but they're from somewhere, you know. Anyway, another news, Buckeye legalization fails in Ohio. Ben Carson says putting a hammer to his mama's head led to being a brain surgeon. Also explains why when he missed her, You know, why he speaks with a quiet voice and makes so little sense. Here, go after your mama with a hammer, see what happens. Smaller than a Borneo snail is the new worst epithet. This is such killer stuff. This is killer material, like at a scientific convention. More bonsai airbags are called. The ABC newswoman who sat on Donald Trump's lap for a selfie is being treated for unspecified symptoms. More Americans than ever believe religion is not improbable enough. Okay. Day one, Dr. President Ben Carson will fill the pyramids with grain. I always turn back to Dr. Ben Carson. Whenever you fall flat on one, go to Ben Carson joke. Former President George H.W. Bush, the dad, calls Dick Cheney iron ass, but he's a little rusty. The elder Bush also said he never cared for Jeb's wife. And that actually the child's name in the birth records was Job. Which explains a lot, really, in how a campaign is going, especially when all his oxen ran out on him. Serena Williams, religious jokes also are very big. A lot of people who actually probably didn't read the book of Job wouldn't get that, but people who did are rolling in the aisles now, especially the oxen reference. Killer stuff in the right rabbinical setting. Serena Williams runs down an old man who also has a gold iPhone 6 Plus. Poor guy had a heart attack, though. Fortunately, he had the Apple Watch on, and it saved him. Ben Carson admits he got a Hot Point, not a West Point scholarship. Hey, Ben Carson. Thank you, Ben Carson. Donald Trump says Carson's mama hammering and friend stabbing just means he's Mexican. Donald Trump, T-R-U-M-P. Write him directly. It's a mercy killing for the Keystone Pipeline. Ah, she was a good old sludge hose. Christian Huckabee ordered not to come within 5,000 feet of the debate stage. Yeah, but it's just going to drive them closer together, is what I think. It'll be like Thelma and Louise, those two. And finally, and I mean that, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker comes out of hiding to attend a Jeb Bush event in Milwaukee because he's not yet ready for a lot of attention. That's all the news that isn't. Thank you. And you'll be laughing on the way home, which may be early. That's an indication of what you have to listen to in store here. John Hawks is a UW professor of anthropology. He was involved in, you know, this, what was it, the Homo Naledi? Is that what they call them? Naledi, Homo Naledi. They found what could be a new member of the human race. And it's not John Hawks, but it's someone he knows. Would you welcome, please, John Hawks from UW, University of Wisconsin, anthropology. Oh, he came from that side. So you come from the left, then. I expected you from the right, but you came from the left.
Here I am.
How are you?
Good. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah.
Do you ever go to anthropology conventions where there are a lot of anthropologists? And is that that's pretty bad, isn't it? I would think these guys don't they hate each other? They're all egomaniacs, right? Anthropologists.
Well, there are a good number of us that are egomaniacs, yeah. You know, and you sort of have to get your egomaniac card at a certain point in your career.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to because you slug it out over who's human and who isn't even among you, let alone these fossils.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Now, this Homo, what's it called?
Homo Naledi.
Naledi.
Uh-huh.
And that's for a South African word?
That's right, yes. It's a local word for star, mm-hmm. and it's called for the Rising Star Cave. That's where we found the bones.
Rising Star Cave, mm-hmm. in South Africa.
Yep.
And where would we look for that cave if we're touring?
So Johannesburg, giant city in South Africa, and just outside of it, about 45 minutes outside of town, there's this area that has lots of caves. It's become a World Heritage Site. It's called the Cradle of Humankind. Huh. And this cave is a well-known cave. It's inside of this, and people have been doing sort of off-road spelunking in it for many years. We didn't know that there were any bones inside.
Yeah.
And
didn't anyone ever, when they were spelunking, when they landed on a cranium,
well, as
comment
it turns,
on it to anyone else?
As it turns out, our team, who were looking for bones specifically in that cave, you know, they'd seen maybe a few, but they got into this crevice and noticed that they didn't feel the bottom. And so our team member, Steve Tucker, says, well, I'm going to find out what's down there. And he shoots down like this. And
could you guys see that again, please?
Yeah, because you have to understand that this thing is 40 feet. This shh.
We call it the shoot. Too much. It's too much.
And it's 7.5 inches wide. And so he squeezed his way down that. And when he got to
how
the bottom of
he?
It,
how big is he? Do you know?
He's a little guy. And in fact,
fortunately,
everybody that goes into this chamber is somebody that can fit in that 7.5-inch gap.
Yeah, they had the underground astronauts. Is that what they called them?
Yeah. In order to excavate the bones out of this place, our team leader, Lee Berger, put on Facebook this call. I need excavators who can come for this special project. The catch is this. You must be skinny.
Yeah.
You must not be claustrophobic.
See if you can crawl through a 7-inch tube.
Yeah, exactly right. And so that's why nobody had seen the bones there before. They're in this place that, to our knowledge, you know, it wasn't on any map.
Yeah.
You know, it was new.
So these mostly were women anthropologists.
Yeah, so our team members that came in for the excavation, six young women, all of them masters anthropology, archaeology, from all over the world, and they did just an extraordinary job underground.
Yeah. How cool is that? This is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I love this story. Now, what are they just, how long ago would this have been, you know, age-wise, we're talking?
We don't know the age of the fossils. It's something that, in its anatomy, is very primitive looking. In human evolution, sort of the first three quarters of it, from maybe 8 million years ago to 2 million years ago, is a bunch of little creatures with very small ape-sized brains that happen to walk upright like us. We call them australopiths.
Yeah.
The last fourth has some creatures more like us that are taller, that have progressively larger brains, use tools and that sort of thing. We call them Homo. And Homo naledi, we think in anatomical terms, is sort of at the boundary of those. It's got a very primitive ape-like brain, but it's taller in the human range of sizes. It's clearly got hands that are made to make stone tools. It looks, in other words, pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And so we think that it's around that place in our family tree, but of course it might have survived for a long time. You know, it could even be a very recent fossil, but still have that branching point with us early in our evolution.
Couldn't it have been some really old fossils that someone threw down the hole, just for a joke?
We know they didn't throw them down there because we find them in partial articulation. So the bodies came in, but
they lowered them, each body down that hole.
Our present,
and laid them out. Was it a burial thing, or what's going on here?
Our present thinking, we can rule out lots of ways that fossils often get into caves. Like lots of times carnivores are eating them and drag them into caves, so they get tooth marks and things on them. They don't have that.
No.
We can rule out that they were carried in by some sort of flood or something like that. They came in as bodies.
Yeah.
Our thinking,
but even the rats had the good sense not to try to climb down these holes.
Yeah, and usually we find other kinds of animals jumbled together, you know, because usually other kinds of things can get into these places. In this case, we don't. It's just hominins, and there's a lot of them. It's more than we've ever found at any other site in Africa.
Yeah.
So our thinking is that...
Conjecture. What's the conjecture?
Yeah, our conjecture is that these guys were dragging bodies to this place, and we're dropping them in the hole, probably the same hole that we use. And so,
how could they? If they drop them, they would clog up at every turn and every bend.
Well, they would clog up in there. They would start to partially decompose. Parts of them would tumble down.
So it's like a vending machine thing.
Yeah.
It would take like thousands of years, wouldn't it? I mean, you have to, like, one body every 1,000 years or something.
It would take a good. It would take a good deal of time. Our deposit looks like it took some time.
That makes no sense.
Well, you know,
I disagree with your conjecture, and I'll tell you why. Number one, it could never happen. I guess I can stop with number one then. But do you think that's how it? I mean, why?
We think we're digging a pile of bodies. And the pile is composed of partially decomposed mummified parts that once tumbled in, and we now have the bones.
My point is, and I'm not in UW anthropology department, but I could be. Things had gone a little differently. That would have to have been carried down in there, brought down in there. Some would have to, you know, it has to be like the guy who crossed the river down there in hell or Hades or whatever, you know.
We think they were transporting some bodies. We think that when individuals died in their group, that others said, you know, the hyenas are not getting this one. We're going to take it to this place. And that's really sort of different, right? Because this is a very small-brained kind of creature.
Yeah. This is kind of advanced behavior, isn't it?
You know, you can imagine it being a step beyond what we see chimpanzees do. Chimpanzees do carry around the bodies of infants for a while. But this is a step beyond. This is saying there's a place for this. We're going to do this thing. Mm-hmm. And with bodies of all sizes, adults, you know, included. So it's to us very special, but we want to find more ways of testing, you know, exactly what happened.
Yeah. Is it controversial as to this being, because I talked to the guy, you know, mm-hmm. who found Lucy when I was at the ASU there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those guys were shooting at each other. They're anthropologists. It was like warfare. They'd be, you know, shooting from behind rocks.
They really do, yeah.
Yeah, and did that happen with this discovery?
You know, fortunately, no. We're you know, South Africa, we have a better tradition of working, you know, sort of as large teams. And there's lots of caves there, so there's not the shooting. In this case, we do have some, you know, some detractors from that part of our explanation, you know, that, wow, you know, you really need more evidence to prove this.
What is the biggest area of detraction?
Well, you know, maybe these were unlucky creatures that were climbing deep in this cave and sort of couldn't find their way back out. That's maybe the scenario that is...
But about them being human,
you know, I'd say the biggest area of detraction, you know, there aren't many. You know, there are one or two people that have said, look, you know, you guys say this is a new thing, that we haven't seen it before, but it's sort of like something that we've seen before, and we need more evidence.
What is it sort of like, Australopithecus?
It's like a very, very primitive version of Homo erectus. It's got a smaller brain than any Homo erectus we've ever found.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit in the range of variation, as far as we know, but there are some people that say, well, you know is that really different enough?
If you have a Homo erectus for 48 hours, you should call your doc.
There you go.
I'm sorry I had to say that. We can go on now with the scientific discussion.
This is after you're done with the strippers, right?
Is it like Homo erectus? It does. It looks like it is new. They show the hand. I got a thing here showing the hands.
Yeah, it's
totally
new.
They're lovely little hands.
They are. You know, we have the most complete hand in the hominid fossil record.
Hands,
we've got the most complete feet.
You can't see this, of course, but it's a hand lying in a human hand, and it's just sweet. Hand, it looks like, I mean, it might be a child's hand even.
I would say it is amazing. You know, when it is hard to describe, when we get really excited about a skeleton like Lucy, it's something everybody's heard of, but it's a skeleton that 40% of the bones are there in some degree.
Yeah.
You
got duplicates on these, right?
We have parts of 15 skeletons and at least 1,500 pieces. And and that's just so far. We're digging in. So far, what we've excavated is about the size of a dishwasher door out of a chamber that is...
Is that right?
Many, many times that, yeah.
So, I mean, so these are piled?
Yeah, they're stacked.
You're just in one pile?
Yeah.
And you have 15 individuals?
Yeah. So we may, as we excavate more, we may
What's
find
What's a refrigerator
that,
door doing down there?
Yeah, that's how you keep
See,
the bodies cold.
See, some of this
cold,
doesn't
guess,
add up.
You know?
Is what I'm saying. This is clearly a boondoggle of some.
But it's remarkable. It's something we never found before.
Yeah, and they're all of the same. Did you say that there was some variation as to the size and so forth?
We have 15 individuals. Of those, 8 are children of various ages. Oh. We have a newborn. We have you know, toddler age, older children. We've got some adults. We've got an old adult, very old. You've got the whole range of ages represented.
Yeah.
You know, sizes, we've got males and females. They're pretty uniform in their form. The differences that we tend to see are the same ones that we see between men and women today.
Isn't that unusual, too, to find this variation in ages? I mean, if you find something like that, so let's say it's a grave pit or something, they'd mostly be older.
Well, it's an interesting thing to think about, because those of us who are used to, you know, to dealing with our society, with death in our society, we think of it being older people. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't take very much walking around graveyards from 150, 200 years ago to see that these are all kids. Mm-hmm. That natural human populations have a really high juvenile and especially infant mortality. Mm-hmm. When you have a natural death population, that's what you get. You get young and old. And we have that here. We have the whole range of human ages.
Yeah. Nothing like artifacts or...
So far, no. We've got nothing other than the bones.
What do you make of that?
You know, it's interesting,
right? I look for artifacts when I'm doing
it. It's super interesting. We know that they weren't living in there, in other words, you know, because there's not the debris that there would be if they were using this for something other than their bodies. There is no evidence yet of fire. Our thinking is that in order to get in this dark place, they probably did have control of fire, but we haven't found it, and we can't say that for sure.
Yeah. So, but John, there's no way you're getting down there yourself.
And I can't.
I don't mean this as an insult.
No, it is the
worst possible thing for me,
right?
You will never actually see this. How frustrating is that?
You know, for me, I keep telling people, you know, for somebody like my friend Lee, who's the head of the project, he's frustrated, right? Because he likes to go to those places.
Yeah, where is he from?
He's originally an American. He grew up in Georgia, but he's a naturalized South African, and he's, you know, been the leader of projects down there for a long time. And he's somebody that wants to be the first one with his foot on the mountain, you know?
Yeah.
Me, you know, I like to be the second one with my foot on the mountain. It's not like I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy the fact that this is a place that I can't go, and the only way that I can know about it, and I know more about it than almost anyone else, is by doing science on it. You know, it is sort of like we talk about astronauts, you know, because they're sort of remote to us. It takes them 20, 30 minutes to get to this place where they're working, and we only watch them through closed-circuit television.
Yeah.
But
I saw some of that TV special.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's a terrific. I recommend that anyone.
It's
what was that called? You know,
it's called Dawn of Humanity. And it's I think it's still available for streaming from PBS.
Yeah, that's great. You got to catch that.
Yeah, it's to me, being involved in a project where you have to science the crap out of it in order to know anything about it. You know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
and it's great to be able to tell people that we can't know about this without working together as this team. All of us have our different sort of abilities, and we have to work together to do anything.
Yeah, I like the science, the stuff out of it angle.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, and a totally different thing. You know, you see The Martian, the movie The Martian, and he has to science the stuff out of Mars.
That's exactly it,
If nothing else, it's saying to kids, look, this is where it's at. You know, there's so much that can be done here.
Yeah. You've got to be clever. You've got to be inventive. You've got to solve problems that nobody's faced before.
What is your specific thing that you science when you're sciencing crap? What is your...
I do the bones.
When
bones come out of there, you know, identifying them, dealing with the bones, putting together the bones into what we think are the individuals, you know, finding the parts that match. Mm-hmm. But, you know, on this project, you know, sort of coordinating people, you know, it's a huge project. Yeah. We've got more than 60 scientists, and each of them in the analysis
and
is
everybody
an
wants to be the bone man. Come on.
Well, we've got, you know, 40 bone men and women. I would say 40 bone,
bone men
people.
And women, yes, of course.
And some of them, their entire life is the hand, right?
They're more, are they phalanges?
Have someone who's specialized in the curvature of the phalanges, and somebody who knows wrist bones like nothing else.
A wrist bone guy.
It's getting those folks to work together and seeing, oh wow, you've discovered this today. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know that.
You lay claim to? Or a humerus or
if
tibia?
If you said, you know, Hawks is coming. You know, we really need to get our stuff
together.
Hide? You know, it would be the skull. Yeah, I did.
Oh,
the skull.
Oh, you're the skull guy. Yeah. So that's like at the creme de la creme at the top there.
Well, you know, it's the prestige part. You
it
know,
is.
Because it's got that sort of gray matter inside. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And this skull, these skulls are amazing, are they?
Do you know, the skulls are sort of one of the worst parts. You know, the hand, the foot, these are awesome. You know, the folks who are used to having one wrist bone, they're like, we must identify this wrist bone and compare it to everything. Mm. We've got 150 hand and wrist bones. So it's like they're having super party.
Field day for wrist bones.
You know? Skulls are usually broken, you know, and these skulls are no different from the rest. They're all broken.
So
and
we have to assemble them.
We have to assemble them, find out what's there. Yeah. But yeah, so... It's if you're going to have a Naledi party.
But then you 3D print them, don't you?
You bet.
I saw some of these things. This is kind of a cool thing.
This is the coolest thing because it's often
finally
the case.
A cool use for a 3D printer, I think.
You know,
trinkets. This is cool.
It is so cool because we decided really early on that we were going to put the data online. You know, we've got scans of these fossils, and we shared them with each other to do the work. We said we can put these on an archive, share them with the public, and just put them out there. And the day we published our papers, and we published these papers open access. We have to date had more than 240,000 people read these papers describing the fossils. It's incredible for a science thing. But we put out there the models of the fossils, and we've got teachers all over the world downloading these, putting them in their printers, printing them out, and you've got classrooms full of kids that have Homo naledi. Coolest thing for me because you see these guys posting on Twitter, you know, wow, we printed Naledi today. The kids loved it. You know, it's amazing. You know, it is really, really what just inspires us to find more.
That's so much better than a refrigerator magnet.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
Which is what they've been used for until now.
A friend of mine who's a student of paleoanthropology, I've known him for a little while, was so excited yesterday. He was on Facebook. He'd just gone and had these models printed at a commercial 3D printing place. He'd gone to pick them up in London, and he's carrying them around London, taking photos with all the landmarks. Here's Naledi with Big Ben, you know. Here's Naledi with the Tower
Bridge. That's unfortunate. Maybe you shouldn't have released it to some people. John, I want to thank you for coming. It's fascinating.
Yep.
Congratulations on your work there and everybody's work. What a great project.
Thank you.
Nice.
Thanks. Yeah.
John Hawks, UW, Anthropology. Give me a phalange. John Hawks, thank you. Well, you can just go back. I don't know what's back there, but to from whence you came. You can spelunk down this hallway here and drop a few feet. I am an anthropology junior detective. This is quite an amazing thing. And definitely check out that program on PBS. It's astounding. And I love the whole women angle on it. As a father of daughters, you go, yes! You know. Okay, what?
I didn't say anything.
Okay, how are you?
Just thinking about that 3D printer. Yeah, I'm very good.
Are you going to get one? Do you have one?
No.
Yeah? Jeff, you must have a 3D printer by now.
Not yet, I should.
Are you going to get one? If you get one, what would you print?
Legos.
That'd be a lot cheaper than just buying a can of Legos.
Or maybe you could print bass strings.
I wonder if that would be possible. Well, if they can make a kidney, you could probably make a bass string. I don't know if you want to do the same.
You need a kidney?
Same day. So, how are you? Pretty good then.
Yeah,
okay.
Pretty good then,
what do you feel like playing now?
Oh, we're going to play a little tune called Moonray.
Moonray is a wonderful song that goes back to
Artie Shaw.
Artie Shaw, cool. Boys in the band, John and Jeff.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
You can't let it. You can't let it happen. Jeff, what were you going to talk about?
A little bit of this and that.
Okay. Anything you want to tantalize us with something that you might have said? You weren't here, of course, during the break here, but I usually give the mic to Jeff. But this time I flummoxed him by asking various questions and thwarting his little efforts. But you were going to talk, just the general area you were going to talk?
About my children and staying up really late at night.
Children again. Okay, no. Well, we didn't miss anything. Children thing. You got to play that for a while. I did it for years, you know. Then they grew into adults, and there's nothing worth talking about. It happens. Sweet Larissa. The peasants call her the goddess of gloom, ladies and gentlemen. She speaks good English, and she invites you up. You know that song?
No, I don't.
Okay, it's a Bob Dylan song. I'm surprised. Come on, stand up here just a second, sweet Larissa. Sweet Melinda, I think it is, actually. From Ingolstadt, Bavaria. Where would we find Ingolstadt if we were in Bavaria?
It's 1 hour north of Munich.
Hour straight, due north?
Straight north, yeah.
What train goes there?
A regional train.
Regional?
Yeah.
So what should it say on it that we will get. So we'll get to Ingolstadt.
It should say either Nuremberg, because that's even more north. But you'd have to really check if it goes to Ingolstadt, because there's also some that make a curve.
They make a curve?
And they.
Is that the wrong? If we're on one that's making a curve, will we not end up in Ingolstadt?
Yeah, then you'd end up in Regensburg.
Is that okay, too, though? Are there things to do there, aren't there?
It might even be prettier.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is there a big competition between Ingolstadt and that one?
Yeah, Ingolstadt doesn't have much, like, touristy things.
Oh,
does it? No, all it has as a claim to fame is the Audi car factory.
Well, that's a big claim to fame. Do they have a test track there? Can you go and drive Audis?
Potentially, yeah. But just around town, I guess.
But is there a testing track there, do you know?
No, not really.
That'd be so cool.
That'd be cool.
And what brings you our way here?
My job.
Yeah. Oh, are you living here now?
Yeah, I'm living here now.
Mm-hmm. And what's your job?
I'm a researcher at the UW.
Well, you are. What do you research?
I'm doing neuroscience, but theoretical neuroscience.
Neuroscience?
Yeah,
like Ben Carson kind of stuff?
No, I'm not a medical doctor.
Okay.
I'm a physicist, actually.
Oh. And what can you say what actually you're looking at? What phenomenon? Or?
Well, I'm at the Center for Sleep and Consciousness, and I'm doing, like, why did consciousness evolve? How does neural systems need to look like in order to be conscious and be able to do?
You know, you should find someone who has no consciousness and compare them to someone who does, and that your answer should be there.
It happens. When I try to explain things, I'm surprised how often it happens. That.
Yeah. That's really cool. And your question I don't understand, but I'll let you pose it.
Well, he wrote it, but it's...
Well, no wonder I don't understand.
Yeah. Like, my mom always sends us a big box of German Christmas Lebkuchen. And
Lebkuchen?
Lebkuchen, yeah. Lebkuchen. And the translation is gingerbread, but gingerbread is something completely different. So the question is, did you know that... Gingerbread is actually not the German Lebkuchen.
Yeah. Have you talked to your mother about this? Is this something you should take to your mother, I would think?
Well, we need to find a better translation, right? But I don't know.
Than the word mother? Or what?
No, than the word than the word gingerbread for what we have.
Well, what would you call Lebkuchen then? More of a...
Well, it's life cake, I guess, which makes sense because it's really good. But.
Exactly. If it was living, it would be very frightening, however.
No, it's not. It's vegetarian, so it's not even dead. But.
Well, thank you very much, sweet Larissa.
Yes.
It's Larissa, I believe, is correct. Yeah. He wrote the sweet part. Isn't that sweet?
That is so sweet.
Very nice to meet you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sweet Larissa. From Ingolstadt. Isn't that? Oh, they're hugging now. What's your name?
Gabriel.
Gabriel, okay. How did you meet sweet Larissa?
Online.
Online? Really? Who did you pose as?
Possibly myself.
It's a nice when catfishing works out. I love it. No, you're a very sweet couple. We have to go on to the rest of the show here now. The modern cow was domesticated or evolved from what animal? Do I know? Yes, it came from a poogle. And I tell you, it took a lot of doing, because, a lot of them. I had to go through a lot of poogles to get where, I don't know, Isaac Mattis? See, you would know. Don't be modest. Come on, sign up here, Isaac. Come on. How are you?
All right.
What are you up to these days?
Studying.
Huh?
Studying.
Studying for what?
College.
Anything more specific than that, or are you just in general studying college type things?
Just generally.
Well, I mean, what are you in? What field are you in?
Chemistry.
Okay, so it'd be chemistry, and is it what sort of chemistry are you studying?
Any kind, organic, inorganic, physical.
Okay. You don't want to talk about it, man. Come on, man. And are you in modern cow domestication?
No. I just took anthropology.
And the answer is?
The aurochs.
And what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
What is an aurochs?
It's just the precursor to a modern cow.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't exist. An ancient cow. Okay, well, fascinating, and you keep studying. I know you're probably preoccupied with all those chemistry things in there, and so you find something like that. Anyway, professional nanny Laura Curtin is here from Chicago. And she's stoked, I bet, to see the Northern Lights this weekend. Are you, Laura? Oh, hi, Laura. Are you stoked? Is this worth talking about? Because it's a long effort to get... I didn't know they were happening. Yeah. I saw him once. It was okay. I don't need to see him again. You know, how many times you got to see the same Northern Lights or whatever? The Red Moon, big deal. Another one, okay. You know that damn Red Moon? We stood out in the park there, me and my daughter. And I had a telephoto lens on the camera. And it was late in the middle of the night and stuff. And other people were out there partying and stuff. That was cool, but we were standing there with a tripod and taking pictures of the same old Red Moon. Blood moon, big deal. It's not blood. And they never come out. I got one good picture. I got, you know, a picture of a faint blur that looked like the moon. And then absolute black when it was eclipsed. So I can't get excited about the Northern Lights and have my heart broken yet again. What are you going to do for that?
I won't get to see them.
Why not?
We live in Chicago. You can't see anything. The buildings are too tall.
Couldn't you leave Chicago to see them? You are not allowed to leave Chicago. Are you under house arrest, or what do you?
They'll let you out of the city once you come.
Oh, I see. They stop you at Mundelein or something. If you. All right. Well, that's very disappointing as well. So let's just see now. Taki from Menominee, Wisconsin, who's a dermographic application specialist, which means tattooer. Where is Taki from Menominee? Okay, I'm going to go back and talk to you because I. Your name is Taki, and that's cool, and does tattoo. Do you have a tattoo?
No.
No?
No.
Why do you disparage that?
I don't.
Okay, I thought it was like...
No, it was just I don't have a tattoo.
Yeah. What, do you think if you were...
Yeah, I wanted to get one.
What did you want to get?
An Irish four-leaf clover.
Where would you have put it? I'll talk to you later. Jeez. I'll tell you. It's public radio. You don't really think about who the audience is sometimes. Four-leaf clover, where would you put it? Where are you? Are you he? Okay, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah. Taki?
Yes. Yeah.
And demographic application specialist, how long have you been tattooing?
A little over 22 years now.
22 years?
Yeah.
I bet the styles have changed remarkably in tattoos, have they?
It has.
No more anchors?
Oh, actually, they're still quite popular. People like to get the classic designs, yeah. You know, still today.
Mom with a knife through a heart through an arrow through it.
Sometimes, yeah, yeah, very rare, but yeah. It does happen on occasion. Yeah.
Ever see a dad one? Then you ever do dad tattoo?
Actually, I have. Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've done.
What can you do for a dad tattoo? I was trying. My daughter wants another tattoo she's got several already. And, you know, and I said, honey, and I sent her a picture of this dad tattoo. It's a daddy, you know, a big heart, five colors. It's pretty cool.
Nice, yeah. A lot of times.
What can you do for a daddy tattoo?
Well, I've done a dad tattoo that actually was a man. His father was a carpenter, so we did a hammer with a dad banner going across the front of it.
Hammer with a dad. What would they do for me, though?
A microphone?
I don't know. That's going to look weird on her arm.
Depends on, you know, what. It would depend on what how she sees you. You know, what about you that's important to her, and then have that represent you to her.
Yeah. And you asked if I was going to get a tattoo. What would it be?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would never defile my body unless it felt good. And then, I think a third eye, but I would like to have it in a frame like the other two are. In like it would look like a third eyeglass frame coming up from the bridge here.
Could you? Yeah, we could do that. Yeah, sure.
Cool, that three eyes, because if I had three eyes, they'd all have glasses. That's the way I look at it. Done that?
No.
Okay, let's talk.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Nice to meet you. Okay, so I've got a tattoo. Come on. Give yourselves a big round of applause. It's all about the audience. It's not about me. It's all about the audience. So applaud yourself. That usually works. We're going to play the What Do You Know quiz now, a chance to win fabulous prizes. Before we have to know who can and cannot participate in the, I got you, get you, come around here, I'll meet you there. Participate in the quiz, that's right. It's time for the four disclaimers. Not the two, not the three, but the four. The same four now for all these. How are you?
Hello, I'm doing good.
Yeah, and you are?
My friends call me Intel, but my name's Dan, or at least that's what it says on my driver's license.
You're Dan?
Yep.
Okay. Dan, I'll give this to you. I'll get out of your way.
Okay. Take it away. The four disclaimers. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. You can now go 70 on Highway 16 for 14 miles between Highway P, Branch Street, and I-94 in Waukesha County.
But you have to be a registered Republican.
Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-researched and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Hold on. You got a future in this business. Disclaimer reading. Let's see the hands of those of you who'd like to use those flanges, those advanced flanges, at the What Do You Know quiz. Here, okay, since you raised your hand, did you raise both your hands? No, just yours? Okay, just yours. Come on in. That's fine. Got a little pinch on the way for good luck or something, huh?
Yep.
And you are?
Joel.
Joel?
Yep.
You're from around here, Joel?
Janesville.
Joel from Janesville, ladies and gentlemen. Joel from Janesville. Paul Ryan country. Yeah. Joel, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
We're celebrating the anniversary of my birth today.
The anniversary of his birth. Yes, okay. Today is your birthday. The anniversary of his birth. I guess that works. Have a seat there, Joel from Janesville. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
That's good. What are you doing for your birthday?
Coming to the show, and then after the show, I'm assisting an old professor of mine glass blowing. So,
oh yeah, you're a glass blower.
Yep. Yeah. As a hobby.
As a hobby.
Yep.
What do you do as a living?
I design components for the energy sector. So
you do.
Yep.
Do they know that you're designing it?
They do. They do.
Have you come with some pretty radical components?
They're okay.
Yeah?
They're okay.
What's the component you designed that you're fondest of or proudest of?
I don't know. It's like picking a favorite child, I'm sure. And you can't do that.
No, you can't do it publicly, but you can think about it. So these components are what kinds of things? Exactly?
Compressors, framework, enclosures, yeah, just various components.
Yeah, all for alternative energy? Or?
No, it's for natural gas.
For natural gas, okay, yeah. Cool. I always preferred natural gas. And the glass blowing, where'd you pick that up?
I picked it up probably about 10 years ago through a UW River Falls held a summer camp, week-long summer intensive camp.
Yeah.
And I did that for a couple of years.
Oh, cool.
And then I did it at UW-Madison.
Yeah.
As a special student, so I wasn't taking any classes except for that one.
You went to River Falls?
I just did the week-long classes there.
Yeah.
In the summer.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. And where are you from originally?
North of Watertown.
North of Watertown.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what's north. I've been to Watertown. I don't know if we went north from it. What's there?
Kleiman, Wisconsin.
Kleiman?
Yep.
Anyone here from Kleiman or been to Kleiman? Or how did you find Kleiman when you were there?
It was Rolling Hills.
Rolling Hills of Kleiman. That sounds like an Irish song, doesn't it? The Rolling Hills of Climbing. Nice to have you here, Joel. Thanks for
nice
playing
to be
the quiz.
Here.
You know, it works out there, plays along with you.
Yep.
Okay. And how does that work then, Stephanie Lee?
If people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669 and answer this qualifying question.
Okay. This is pretty wide open here, but San Francisco gets the least sleep of any city. Did you know that? People in San, I guess the city itself does not sleep. But the people in it, get the least sleep of any city in the country. I want to know what city gets the most sleep in the U.S. of A. So it's, like I say, okay, got a lot of cities. I'll tell you, it's a major American city. And but some, what? What? They get the most sleep. That's the, and what's the number they should call with that?
That's 1-800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW.
Mm-hmm. You're getting a little more vehement in those whack
now. Oh, am I?
Yes, you are.
Vehement.
Yes. It was downright vehement, I think. Let's go to the phones here. Jerry Hall is from Uniontown, Ohio. Hey, Jerry.
Hi there.
Did you vote in that marijuana thing?
No, actually, I did not. I've actually been away training for the Army. So.
Oh, you did, yeah. Okay. Well, what did you think about it?
Well, I heard it didn't pass.
Yeah.
So, honestly, I'm on the side of the fence where I've seen the benefits from it.
Yeah.
I work in the medical field, so I stay up to date on the medical research and everything, and I see the benefits from it, and I feel like that outweighs the negatives.
Yeah, cool. And so you're going back into the Army, or are you?
I'm actually, I've been a medic for 5 years,
yeah.
So I'm actually retraining to become an infantryman.
Oh, and where would you go after that?
Well, right now I'm down here on Fort Benning in Georgia.
Yeah.
After that, I'll be heading to Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
Yeah, okay, for training, okay. All right, here's the question. San Francisco gets the least sleep in the U.S. of A. What city do people get the most sleep in somewhere? I'll give you a hint, it's Eastern Seaboard.
Eastern gets the most sleep.
And it has two syllables.
Two syllables. I wouldn't even be able to know where to start with that, but I'll say...
I'll give you a hint, it's in New England.
New England?
Probably the largest city in New England. I don't want to put words in your mouth. What?
Is it Boston?
Boston is right. Oh, yes. Good instincts, Jerry Hall from Uniontown, Ohio. You're going to win some fabulous prizes here. I just got the feeling. Jerry, this is Joel. He's from Janesville, Wisconsin.
Hello, Jerry.
Hi there. How are you, sir?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Cool. Okay, guys have bonded. I love it when guys bond. So Jerry and Joel, you are a team right now. It's collaborative. And what categories have we, Stephanie Lee?
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Jerry, you pick first. And what would you like?
Let's try the things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention.
All right. Okay, does the Earth massage the moon?
What?
Talk it over there now. Does the Earth massage the moon?
I'm going to say no.
What are you going to say, Joel?
I was going to say yes.
Okay. You want to discuss this? Maybe you can work out your answer. Why were you going to say yes? Because of the Earth's gravity and stuff that actually would be pulling it. Because, the moon affects our tides. So imagine what the Earth must do to the moon.
Right.
Must just kind of,
See, I would think it'd be the other way, that the moon massages the Earth.
But it's smaller, so it would have less of a, it would be more of a tweak. When your uncle does this to you. Whereas, the Earth is so much bigger than the moon. I don't know, you guys talk it over.
Let's go with your answer. Let's say yes.
Yes is right, yes, it does. It's very significant. It distorts its body shape.
That's one right, and the remaining categories are current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Joel, what would you like?
Current events, please.
Current events, this is right out of the news. Okay, tickets to the premiere of Star Wars, The Farce Awakens are going for as much as what? This is to see it at the IMAX in Austin at 7 p.m. on December 17th. But they're bootlegging these tickets for as much as what? Give me a number here.
Joel, this Please. One's on you.
You're I've not been on the show, sir.
For a while.
All Did right. you think you were on the show? This is all about you, isn't it?
Jerry, just FYI, he's not talking to you.
Oh, right. No, I'm sorry, Jerry. No, there's a guy in the audience. Yeah, blurted out $10,000, and I don't know what he's.
And this is down in Austin, you said.
Yeah. But it's true all over the world, actually.
$355, maybe.
$10,000, you said?
Yeah, sure, $10,000.
Oh, that's what you said. I'm sorry, you said $10,000. Jerry, what do you think?
You know, I've been out of the current events loop. I've been away from technology for a while. So if it was Star Wars, I mean, I would imagine to be in the thousands.
So you're saying 10,000 too?
Let's go with that.
Yes, as much as $10,000. Incredible. I mean, it's an IMAX. Well, that should be what? $10 at the most.
Should they go for the mother load, Michael? Do we have time for the mother load?
I think we can do it right
All
now.
All right,
actually.
Let's do the mother load. Yes. That's two, right? And for the mother load, the remaining categories are people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Jerry Hall.
Let's go science.
Science it is. Okay, science. Okay, while rolling their dung balls back home. I love a sentence that begins that way. I'm going to say it again. While rolling their dung balls back home, do dung beetles navigate by which of the following? Dung beetles navigate by which of the following? Is it A, ultraviolet light in the sky, B, landmarks, or by the North Star?
I
like the landmarks.
I like landmarks because if I remember correctly, dung beetles roll backwards. They push with their back legs, so I can't imagine they're looking up.
Well, why would they be looking at landmarks then if they're rolling dung, you know?
They've already passed it.
Catching them out of the side of their eye, I guess. I'm not entirely sure.
Well, you're rolling a dung ball larger than you are, considerably larger
That's very
than
true.
You are, using your feet.
That's very true.
Are you going to be looking for landmarks? I'm not sure.
What was the option A?
Ultraviolet light in the sky, changes in light in the sky. You leaning towards that, Joel?
I'm going to lean towards that one.
Okay.
Yep, I'm gonna go with that one. That actually sounds pretty scientific.
What's your thinking, Joel? Don't be afraid. It's a microphone. This is not a weapon of any nothing. No projectile will come out of this. Speak, Joel. Say something.
I'm gonna go with A.
He's going with A, which is ultraviolet. This guy. Jerry, you want to go along with that, or do you want to lose a thing?
I want to go.
Go along with that? That's right.
I'm going to go with
that. Unbelievable. You're not
Joel, in case that wintry white stuff doesn't arrive soon enough for you, you've got a tube of Insta Snow. Just add water to make it expand many times in volume, and it's even cool to the touch from ThinkGeek. And then gain a deeper understanding of your quiz success reading How We Learn, The Surprising Truth About When, Where, and Why It Happens by Benedict Carey from Random House. Build on that success reading Dr. Bob Rotella's How Champions Think from Simon & Schuster. And if all else fails, there's Stephen Levitt and Stephen Dubner's When to Rob a Bank from William Morrow. Sherry, for that satisfying first cup of coffee in the morning, you've won Steep and Brew's Breakfast Blend Coffee. And for your afternoon's pleasure, there's smooth and tasty Costa Rican Terrazu from Madison's Steep and Brew Coffee. Coffee done right. And then sip your favorite libation from a Cat MH3000 Series Material Handler's Travel Mug from Caterpillar Inc. Recall the glory years of George W.'s presidency with a tin of delicious Impeach Mints, peach-flavored breath mints from the Unemployed Philosophers Guild. And tickle your ears with American music from both north and south of the border on the CD What Do You Know About Copeland? With Quiet City liner notes for The Common Man by Michael Feldman from Nimbus Records. Congratulations to both of you.
Whoa,
you're cleaned up.
Michael
birthday,
Feldman's
man.
What Do You Know is produced by... Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, we welcome Americana giants the Wood Brothers. Plus, thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who might well be transgender if he could figure out which to which, Michael Feldman.
Yeah, I know, some days.
Okay. And then all the news that is, time for all the news that is around here. This is because all the news that isn't doesn't go over so well. Then we actually then do all the news that is. This is actual news, and it's from around here.
Actual, real news.
Thank you for clarifying that. Actual news and actual real news are miles apart. Wow. Yes?
Yes. No.
Okay, in Milwaukee County, the Bucks arena thing there. I don't know if you've been following this, but the guy from the Bucks said it's going to be a challenge building that arena for $500 million. And he said, it's my butt on the line. This is a smokesman for him. Everything over, we pay for. So they should have paid everything up to and over. So this is very annoying, I thought. Anyhow, town of Springfield, Wisconsin, they're having an open monkey sanctuary in Springfield, Wisconsin. World's first monkey sanctuary in Marquette County. I guess that's not surprising it would be the first one. There was a rush. There was a monkey rush, actually, and they were the first ones to open up. And actually, it's a good thing. It's $50,000 donation they received to open a home for retired monkeys. So a lot of monkeys retire without a sufficient retirement, without really thinking about it. You know, they'll be flinging their feces and such, and not even thinking about retirement most of the time. And these are research monkeys. They need a place to go. So they're building it there in Springfield, Wisconsin. So I say, that's great. That's great. That's out there near Portage. Okay. This is a disturbing headline. I haven't really read the story. It reads, Madison, Dane County, consider homeless storage lockers. Let me read it again. Madison, Dane County, considers homeless storage lockers. Storing the homeless in lockers? I'm almost tempted to read this story. You read about this already. Walker to appear with Jeb Bush to tout school choice. Okay, draws very little attention. What is this now? Oh, the Lake Altoona Dam event at Half Moon Lake in Eau Claire. You know, they have take the polar plunge out there, but they've had to move it further and further out in the lake because the lake levels are down out there, so they're a little worried about that because the Lake Altoona's water level will be lowered 9 to 10 feet and kept low during the winter. So that's 60 yards out there. So, okay. At the time, I thought, whoa, boy, that really dropped a lot in Lake Altoona. What's going on there? Then there's, in Eau Claire, the volleyball complex, the winter volleyball complex has risen. Wagner's Lanes now is available for winter volleyball. So that's pretty exciting. They have 137 teams playing winter volleyball in Eau Claire at the complex. And that's just a little local pride. Well, we're not in Eau Claire. Neillsville man sentenced for sex with donkey. I was going to leave this out. Okay. And that's pretty much for all the news around here. Thank you so much. That is. He probably was just chewing them, and it slipped. I don't know why even I said that. That's so stupid. It's just a good example why you should never put a hat on a donkey, because one thing leads to another. The Wood Brothers are joining us. This is really special. We're so glad to have them with us. They're on tour now. They were in Stoughton last night at the Opera House in Stoughton. So this tour is like from Stoughton to Carnegie Hall. They end up this particular tour from Stoughton to Carnegie Hall. Don't you love the sound of that? Would you welcome, please, to our stage right here in Madison, Wisconsin, the Wood Brothers, ladies and gentlemen, joining us right now. Hey, gentlemen, how are you? Chris and Oliver and Jano, right?
Yeah, it's Jano.
Jano, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry that it is, but I'm sorry that I said that wrong. How are things going?
Not bad. We're slightly haggard.
Yeah. Did they wear you out in Stoughton then?
Yeah, they wore us out at the Opera House there.
Yeah. Too many reprises at the end there?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good. And it's true. You end up, as you start in Stoughton, you end up at Carnegie Hall. That's what a success story that is.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We're not at Carnegie Hall yet. This is practice for that.
Yeah. Practice.
Exactly.
And on the road now, and the new album, I have it right here, actually, the new CD, Paradise. It's great, by the way, the Wood Brothers. And is this all written by Chris? You do all the writing on this, Chris?
Me? No. This is it's very collaborative. Very collaborative. Yeah, we all wrote it together and
you
produced
did.
This one together.
Every
too.
Word is, it was said by all of you simultaneously.
Yeah, we just hold hands and kind of just comes out.
Yeah. Do you think you're trans channeling some other, like Jimmy Reed or something is coming through you?
Exactly.
Yeah. Very cool. What you can do for us first here?
We're going to do a song called Singing to Strangers.
Oh, it sounds great.
Which we do often. When he hails from the great state of confusion, in the army he was a major. Disappointment. Now he's pulling a push broom at the inconvenience store. And he had never heard speaking in tongues, only screaming and wailing guitars. And he'd do most anything to get that feeling in his heart. So he sings to himself, but he never feels right until he is singing to strangers every night. She wears a mitten and a glove. She said Jesus was handsome, but God is just love. And she feels just like an angel stuck on her back down in the snow. But she's not scared, she will shoot you with a glance. And if you look her right back in the eye, infinite road. And you do most anything not to feel so alone. So she sings to herself, she doesn't feel right till she is singing to strangers. But singing
And that's on the new one, Paradise. Singing to Strangers is a kind of lead track on there. Hailing from the great state of confusion.
Yeah.
Gotta like that.
In the morning, it feels like yelling to strangers.
You're from Boulder, right, originally?
We did. Chris and I did grow up in Boulder for the most part. Born in California.
For the most part, you grew up, or you, the most part?
Well,
still working on that.
Except for the grow-up part, yeah.
And now you're Nashville guys.
We are. It's kind of a recent development in the last 3 years.
Yeah. How's that working out? That's a little bit of a transition from Boulder to Nashville.
Well, in between Boulder, we've... Chris
been a lot of places.
Yeah, Atlanta, Chris lived in New York for 20 years. I lived in Atlanta for 20 years.
Yeah.
Jono here, also from New York, and we all sort of ended up in Nashville. So.
Yeah. Did you guys reunite as brothers at a certain point?
Yeah, we did. We did. At a certain point, we realized we had the same job.
You had no idea until that happened. Huh? Yeah. My God, you play too? Let's do some.
Cool. Exactly.
Yeah, that is very cool. I love that song, by Singing the Strangers is a good one. Is that pretty much how you feel about it?
Sometimes. It varies.
Yeah. When you're not feeling that, what are you feeling?
Just tired.
Is this an unusual? This is a lot of stops on this tour, huh?
Yeah, a lot of stops, and we don't mean to complain about it. We actually love what we do.
Yeah, go ahead, complain, huh? That's
fine. Well, if you just hold us for a minute, because we don't get a lot of sleep sometimes, and we eat crappy food often, and so otherwise it's great.
Yeah. But this Carnegie Hall thing, is that could be a lot of pressure to play Carnegie Hall?
We've actually played there before.
You have? Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, not like headlined or anything like that. Yeah. We've been parts of some larger events there before, and it's an amazing place, and you get real nervous. And then you just realize, it's just another gig. They're all the same.
Yeah. Because after that, you get a gold medal from the president.
Right.
That's the only stop after Carnegie Hall.
That's right.
They give you that. It's pretty nice, too. I didn't get one, but it looked pretty nice. What you got for us here?
We're going to do a song, inspirational song here, which actually goes out to us. it's called One More Day.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
It is? Where? Oh, that usually draws applause. Save it. The Wood Brothers, Paradise is a new album, and if you're in Chicago, they'll be there tonight at the Vic. So check them out down there. They're great, aren't they? They're fantastic. That's tonight. And then Urbana Sunday, and then Louisville, Kentucky on Tuesday.
Jeez.
And Wednesday, Bowling Green, Kentucky, and then they're over in Alabama, Birmingham, and then Atlanta, Georgia, Charlotte, Wilmington, Rocky Mount, Washington, Saxapahoe at the Hall River Ballroom, Charleston, South Carolina, Macon, Nashville, Aspen, Denver, Breckenridge, Solana Beach, Los Angeles. I bet they didn't know this, so they wouldn't have showed up at all. San Francisco, Petaluma, San Francisco at the Fillmore. That's going to be cool. Petaluma, Arcata, Sisters, Oregon, Eugene, Portland, Vancouver, Seattle, Avon, and then Carnegie Hall. But they've been there before. Wood Brothers. Buy the album, support the band, get the gear. Always important to get their gear because that's where the real money is, in band gear. Mary from Viola. Huh? Do you say Viola or Viola? Viola is a woman's name, isn't it? Viola. But it's also a town's name.
Yes.
See, there you go. Have you ever attended the Viola Horse and Colt Show? No, let's find out what we can find at the Viola Horse and Colt Show. So wouldn't it just be a horse show then? Because a colt is a horse, too. Why would they want to... Get you. Come over here, Mary, if you would. You don't mind, do you? Are you going to the Horse and Colt Show? Or is it too cold out? You stay there? Well, then I got to step on all their feet to talk. Hey, they don't mind if you step on their feet. You hate your daughter?
I hate my daughter.
How long have you felt this way?
Just recently, right now.
Did she put this card out in your name?
I don't know how she arranged this.
It says Mary. Are you Mary?
I am Mary.
Okay. It says from Viola, Wisconsin. Are you not from Viola, Wisconsin?
I am from Viola, Wisconsin.
Yeah. And then it says, but you never...
I did do the card, yes.
You did write the card. So then why would you hate your daughter for that? And are you going to the show, the Horse and Colt?
It's already...
Sorry, I missed it.
Yeah, you missed it. Yeah. But it's every year.
Yeah. Do you like the horses more or the colts more?
I really don't go for that.
You don't go for horses or colts? And why do you go to the horse and colt show?
I don't go. I just wondered if you would ever go.
Why would you wonder if you don't even do it yourself and you live out there?
Well, we used to go.
And then what happened with a colt? Broke your heart or something? Or the husband bought one, and then you're...
I had just seen enough horses, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you a horse woman?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Are you a colt woman?
Not a colt woman either.
Why do they separate the horses from the colts? Is there two separate shows there? Do you remember?
No, just one. Yeah. It's a really old celebration.
Oh,
it's been going on for years and years.
And they used to separate the horses from the colts.
I don't know if they ever did that.
Okay.
Whatever.
Okay. Well, thank you for asking that, Mary. And it's been nice talking with you. I'm sorry, but, you know, we didn't have a better conversation. Maybe we didn't have enough to talk about, really.
Well, now you know about it. You can go next year.
Okay. All right. If you will, September. I'll.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much.
Mary from Loyola, Wisconsin. She's very sweet. Are you all with Mary? It's her birthday. Mary, you should have mentioned it was your birthday. We're celebrating a birthday. We got a little bottle. Do you drink wine? Do you ever drink wine? Do you ever drink wine? Last night you did? Okay, then you don't need another bottle, I guess, so forget it. How about another bottle of wine for her?
Oh, sure. Turn any occasion into a cause for celebration with wine from the Wollersheim Winery, award winner at the 2015 Riverside International Wine
Competition. Yeah, but not any occasion. It's her birthday.
Yeah. Any occasion.
84th is good.
She can save it.
Okay. Doing very good. All right. At what elevation do deer turn into elk? Well, that's an interesting question. I don't really know. I imagine 5,000 feet. Amy Post from Ogden. Yes. I would say, you know, maybe 5,000 feet.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. And then, actually, I wasn't even aware that happened. Yeah. It's an altitude thing? Is that, can I get you to stand up here? Amy Post, stand up, please, if you would. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Ogden, Utah, and you are a snow sports school supervisor. What is that?
I'm a ski instructor, but now I supervise other ski instructors and snowboard instructors.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
What do you do? What do you have to do to supervise?
I have to tell them who their students
knock it off, probably, half the
yeah.
time.
Yeah, I tell them they're scruffy looking, they need to shave.
Yeah.
And go
fooling around.
Yeah, go teach those people how to have fun. Yeah, that's what I do.
You know, I would think if I was a snowboarder, and I know a couple of them, you'd have to keep an eye on them.
Yeah, you have to keep a close eye on those close guys. Eye. Yep.
And even then, it doesn't do any good, I bet.
No. No good at all.
Well, I give you a lot of credit.
Thank you.
What elevation do a deer turn into elk?
I mean, I don't really know. It depends on where you are in the country, because they have different ranges, depending on...
Oh, I see. So it yields to the elk population. They don't have physically, a deer does not actually physically turn it in, grow a rack like an antler thing.
Well, I don't know. What do you think?
I don't really know that much about it. I know you think I know everything.
Yeah. Well, you tend to see deer in one lower elevation and elk at higher elevation. Oh, okay. So at what point does the transformation happen?
Okay. All right. Interesting.
I don't know myself.
Okay. Fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was interesting. Because I thought for a minute there they actually changed into elk. What is your position on hashtags? Hashtags. To me, they're pound signs and otherwise useless. And before that, they were just those crosshatch thingies.
Octothorpes.
Huh?
Octothorpes. That's
yeah,
the
that's
word
right.
For that.
You know that, don't you? Why did you ever learn that word?
I actually learned it at my job, my recent other job.
Your recent other job?
Well, yes.
Aquifers, they're called?
Octothorpes.
Octothorpe is a...
That's the name for the pound sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hashtag me.
Yeah.
So, and what were they used for originally? Do they have any purpose at all?
Oh, I don't know that part. No.
Yeah, probably a gang sign originally. Is what I'm thinking. Okay, here we go. Michelle, does that meet all your specifications? Michelle Holdham of Peoria, is that pretty much how you think about it?
My dad just hashtags everything, so I just thought I'd check what your position was.
Your dad is too old to be hashtagging everything.
It's real life hashtags. It's not like on anything, he just hashtags everything.
With his fingers? Oh, that's a sickness.
That's the gang sign.
Is this him? Could you stand up, sir, and face without making the crossing? You lean this way, and I'll lean this way. Why do you do that?
I thought it was funny.
Maybe at first it was funny. The first one, after 100 of them.
When you find something somebody hates, you just keep using it. They think it's hysterical.
So, like, if we were having a conversation and I said some word you didn't like, you would do a hashtag thing to it?
Maybe. Maybe. If I get a laugh out of it, maybe.
Well, I wouldn't know about that, believe me. What have you done? I mean, like, what would you pick out to give the hashtag sign to, for example, typically?
Any kind of goofy conversation. I just sing silly songs and hashtag where it's inappropriate, things like that.
So it's like the old air quotes used to be?
I suppose it is. I suppose it is.
It's very disturbing to know that hashtags have now replaced air quotes, the old standby air quotes. Okay, and are you in that business where you would use a lot of hashtags in your work?
Not at all. I don't Twitter or tweet or any of that. Just the human hashtag.
The human hashtag, ladies and gentlemen. Your name is?
Chris Holden.
Chris Holden, the human hashtag, ladies and gentlemen. Does anybody else do that? Your whole family does that with their fingers? Oh, my God, a reunion would be horrible. That's really weird, I think. Okay, hold on. We got them. Why are chemists lousy comedians? I'm hoping this is a joke. Kay or Kai? Yeah? Is it Kai? Okay. Is this worth the walk if we find out why? All right. I don't know. Let's see. Because that's what it's all about. Is it's all about the audience. And let's go down here and see. Hashtag. All about the audience. Kai, come on over here a second. How are you?
Okay.
Yeah.
Because all the jokes are gone.
That was not worth the walk. I was way in back over there. I had to walk around here. And I get all the jokes are gone.
Yep.
Are you at least a chemist?
Biochemistry.
Okay. You have the right to say it, but don't ever do that to me again. One joke in chemistry and I had to fall for it. One joke.
It's catching on.
Argon. Bill Levine running a half marathon. Is it a half marathon or a whole marathon on Sunday? You're doing half of it? Well, if you quit in the middle, where are you going to be? You'll be in Middleton or something. How are you going to get back? Wait, okay, hang on. This better be worth it, man. Better be an interesting half marathon for you. Can you do the first half or the second half?
The whole half.
You mean half marathon?
Yeah. Gonna do the whole half marathon.
Whole half marathon.
Yeah.
And but there's a whole one going on too?
There's a whole one going on. It starts 10 minutes before the half. So they get a head start.
They think they're gonna finish the whole one in 10 minutes and then meet up with.
But they have a separate course. So we only do. The way it works is that the half marathon runs half the marathon course in the fall and the other half in the spring.
I know the half marathon because it runs around our block about 100 times. I say, what are those guys? Why can't we park on our street or even in our garages? It's because of a half marathon and it just goes round and round. And
that's probably not the same course.
How many, what's in a half marathon length?
It's 13.1 miles.
Oh, that's why I see those stickers and
yes,
things.
Yes.
And the real one is like 26?
26.2, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
No, it's fun.
Are you shooting for a hole?
I've done holes. But this season I'm doing
it. But you're sloughing off the halves?
Yeah, sloughing off.
What happened?
Just the way the training worked out this year. And did a half in the spring and a half in the fall.
So you actually did a hole just in two stages?
Yes. I've done holes in the past, but this year just two halves.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Congratulations, and let's see, Bill Levine and Laura. Laura, hi, Laura, how are you?
Hi.
Are you running as well?
No, I'm supporting him.
Very nice. What, do you stand there with water and spray him when he comes by?
No, I tell him, Bill, it's been an hour since you got up and moved afterwards, and you have to get up and move or else he can't move at all.
Is this before or after?
After.
Oh, okay. All right, good luck to you out there.
Thank you.
Half marathon coming up, and the whole one, too, tomorrow here in Madison, Wisconsin. Levine's. Let's see. What's your favorite lunar cycle? Who has favorite? Do you actually, is that you? You have one?
Yeah.
What do you like?
Waxing Crescent. The waxing crescent.
The waxing crescent. So that's when your crescent is actually enlarging.
Yeah, it's the larger of the.
Well, when you're my age, it's more the waning crescent. Oh, it's an age thing.
Yeah, I guess. So that's your favorite then?
I'm not saying it isn't. Okay. Why do you like it so much?
I don't know. I like it.
It looks cool. It looks like a Miller High Life ad. The old label Miller High Life used to have that. The girl was swinging on a crescent moon. That's pretty darn cool.
It is pretty cool.
Yeah. Nice talking to you. All right. Favorite lunar cycle, wildlife biologist. Why do radio DJs feel the need to talk over the first parts of songs until the lyrics begin? I hate that. Scott Walter, wildlife biologist from Viola, Wisconsin. I think I see the problem here. Which one of you is he? Scott left even, and I read his card for nothing. For hashtag nothing. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Take his kids. Where? Where are they going? Yeah.
I hate to say they were bored.
Yeah. I was a little bored with them, too. They didn't do a darn thing. The whole time they were here, there was some coloring and some fidgeting is all I saw from them, three of them. What is one of your favorite books? How popular do you think Blaze Pink will be? Well, I guess I can use either one of these. How popular do you think Blaze Pink will be for the hunting fashion season? Can we do Blaze Pink here in Wisconsin now? Yeah? Are any of you hunters? Applaud if you're a hunter of some sort. Okay, that same person then. Will you be applaud if you'll be hunting in Blaze Pink this year?
No, I won't.
He did not applaud. He said, no, I won't. Did you consider it?
No, I did not consider it.
Why not? Is what I'm wondering, because apparently it's more visible, to the deer at least. If you're in Blaze Pink, or is it somehow advantageous to wear? Sorry, we bother you again. Okay, and where is he? What sort of a hunter are you, sir?
I own Blaze Orange, so I'd have to go out and buy Blaze Pink.
Okay, but isn't something about Blaze Pink is better than Blaze Orange?
I guess so.
Because in Blaze Orange, you look like a hunter.
That's right, and in Blaze Pink, maybe you hide better. So.
I think like a backup singer in Blaze Pink.
Well, that's true, yeah. Could be. So, but I'm worried about my brothers, and they see better Blaze Orange than Blaze Pink. So I want to protect myself by wearing Blaze Orange.
Are you a deer hunter or what?
Well, I'm also trying not to get shot. So that's one of the problems with hunting. That's why you wear the...
Why would you go hunting if you're trying not to get shot?
Because you're...
Well, what sense does that make, honestly?
It doesn't make a lot of sense, does it?
You don't want to get shot, you stay home.
That's right. Yeah, that's
wear what other color you want, whatever looks good, a fluorescent...
Right.
You know, the pink thing, the fluorescent pink is very popular now.
It is very popular, yeah.
Particularly in shoes. Why am I telling you this? You don't have...
I have Blaze Pink shoes.
Yeah. There you go. See, she has...
Yeah, maybe I'll borrow them.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, nice talking to you. Yeah. Well,
thank
your name
you.
Is?
Jude.
Jude.
Yep, Jude Harper.
All right. Jude Harper. All right, Jude. Okay. There it is on Blaze Pink. And we're back to the Viola Horse and Colt Show. So I'm just going to leave these with you here and use these for bookmarks.
Thank you. Thank
is that in your books? Did you win those books?
Yep.
How Champions Think? Finally got rid of that book. We had a whole case of books called How Champions Think, but it wasn't a bestseller, so... All right, we're going to play the What Do You Know quiz, don't you think?
Yeah.
The appropriate thing to do?
I think it's time.
And I could go through all the card rejects. They're not rejects. It just didn't get to them. All right, so you saw what happened first time, and you can see what happened this time, or you can be part of it, actually, if you want to play the You're Up First. You're Up First. Come on, give her a little enthusiastic support. How are you? Oh, my God. You're hypnotizing me with your medallion.
Yes. Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Where'd you get that?
I got this at an art festival. An artist was selling them, and I bought it.
Yeah, and your name is?
Lucy.
Lucy.
Yes.
Lucy, tell me about yourself.
I live in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin. I'm a special education teacher.
The Fort.
Yep.
Okay. Give me one good reason you should play this quiz, Lucy.
Because I'm pretty good at trivia. And I listen to the current events that are going on around me. I think I'd be good at it.
Good at current events and trivia. Come on down, Lucy. And let's see what you can do. All right. Careful there. Have a seat if you would.
I'm good at talking into microphones, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. I'll be better than that other guy that was up here.
He doesn't talk into mic. He talks.
No, he's like this.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I was trying. He has to think about microphones.
Inspired.
I don't know. How are you? Pretty good?
I'm real good, yes.
You going to run this half marathon or the whole one?
No.
You ever run one of those long races?
I Any barely can in... run out to my car.
Yeah. Well, is it moving? Maybe it's moving when you're running
Sometimes.
Forward. That's right. It's harder. And so you teach in Fort Atkinson?
Yes, I teach at the middle school.
You do?
Yes.
And how's that going? Having a good year?
I live in Wisconsin. Say no more.
Okay. Has Governor Walker been to your school yet?
What's that?
Has he been to your school yet, the governor?
No.
I'm sure he would be hashtag welcome.
I actually love my job. I have a good job.
Yeah, it's a great job. Best job there is. And Lucy, so when you're trying to unwind, teaching is a tough racket, what do? You're a clogger? You do any dancing or clogging?
Clogging. I love to read, so I read a lot.
Yeah. What are you reading right now?
I just got done reading a book. What was the name of it?
You're reading a book? Okay, that's a start.
I remember the names of any of them, but...
Is it like a bodice ripper?
Bodice ripper?
Yeah, you know, they call the women's romance novels bodice rippers.
Oh, no, I don't read...
The foil covers, and there's usually a bodice on it.
No.
Sometimes there's an overlay, so you take it off. Oh, my God.
No, I don't read those too much.
What do you
once
read?
In a while, maybe.
What kind of thing?
Well,
you
I've read a lot about Frank Lloyd Wright. I've read Loving Frank. Mm. I've read one that I just recently read. I can't think of the name of it, but it's about a girl who's trying to find her dad who's a schizophrenic homeless person.
Uh-huh.
And I can't think of the name of it.
So it's just up stuff, kind of a
it's
escapist.
Really, that was uplifting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, not too
good.
Much.
Very good. And who are you here with today?
My mother, Mary, who's 84. Mother-in-law, Mary. I mean, Mary, who's 84.
From Viola?
From Viola.
Holy cow. Mary, you're at the center of this universe.
And
you are.
All of her, some of her kids and my son came down from Peshtigo.
All the way from Peshtigo.
Yeah.
What are you doing for Mary? What's the big gala weekend?
This is the big gala. We came
this
here to see
it?
You. Yeah. And
a
then we're
going
to go out to eat.
You get her a donut in 2 hours of sitting through something?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, the big tonight, the big party.
Well, we're going to go out to eat when we're done here. Is there another party, you guys?
Yeah.
Maybe some wine.
You're not going to make her pay, are you? It's her birthday.
What's that?
She's not going to pick up the tab for dinner.
Oh, I hope not. That would not be right.
No, that would not be right. Okay, Lucy.
She would try, though.
Yes, I bet she would. Someone out there plays, and how does that work, though? A lot of people wondering, Stephanie, you know.
Sure. So if people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669 and answer this qualifying question.
Are there any tricks to getting through? A lot of people say, you know, I call, I just get busy signals.
Oh, like a, oh, not an easier way to remember the phone number.
Can you call the police and say it's an emergency, for example?
I don't know, Michael.
Okay. Anyhow, here's the question, so don't call yet. But here it is. Americans are obviously the leaders in taking toiletries and such from hotels, but who almost never does? We're talking about German... No, that is it. Germans, you know, Canadians, Chinese... Kenyans and so forth. What nationality almost never, even though they have the same toiletries there and they're luring them and you think you paid for them, but that's an American thing I'm saying. What nationality almost never does? Let's go to the phones right now. Norman, Oklahoma, and this is Andy. Hey, Andy.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm really doing good. I'm excited to get on the show.
Oh, well, it's nice to have you. What you got going on tonight, Andy? Some fun?
I'm a tattoo artist, so I got all my tattoos lined up for today. I just finished my artwork.
Oh, you're a tattoo. We have one in the audience. You're a tattoo guy. Yeah. So you'll be working tonight as well?
Oh, yeah. I'll probably work till about 9 o'clock.
No, I suppose it's a nighttime job, huh? Or it's an all-day thing?
I start at noon and work till 9.
Wow, that's pretty good. All right, Andy.
Not many tattoo artists get up before noon.
Yeah, well, I get that. Americans, a leader is in taking toiletries and such. What country, people from what country almost never do?
Germany.
Yes, very insightful. The Germans don't take the toiletries. I don't know what they take, but they don't take the toiletries, Andy. Okay, that's cool. Andy, this is Lucy.
Hi, Andy.
Hi, Lucy.
How are you?
I'm really happy. This is fun.
Yes, it is.
Okay, yeah, we've just started. The two of you are a team now. You work together, you collaborate, and we have various categories. Stephanie Lee, what are they?
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Andy, we'll let you pick the first one. What would you like?
Let's go odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Got any big tattoos lined up? Some of these are more dramatic than others, I know.
I'm actually tattooing a shoe on someone's foot today.
Oh, boy.
Like an optical
one of those
illusion.
Days.
Hey, if you're happy, it's a Hunter pink shoe.
Pretty cool. Okay, so does this person go barefoot then, generally, or because you wouldn't see their tattoo?
Oh, I agree completely. I think it's just as odd as you do.
All right. Here's the question. Do drunk vegetarians eat meat? They study drunk vegetarians, apparently. Apparently they drink. We know that. I don't know. Do they eat meat when, I guess, when they're drunk? Or when they're vegetarians? One of the two. Talk it over. Lucy,
okay, well, I would guess yes, just because when you drink, you lose your inhibitions, and meat's pretty tasty. So I think you'd probably want, you know, just without realizing you're doing it, you would eat some meat.
Are you a vegetarian?
I'm following Lucy's lead.
I am not a vegetarian, no.
Yeah. Do you drink?
Sometimes, yes.
Okay.
Almost every night.
Andy, are you a vegetarian?
Yeah,
almost
my
every
daughter
night.
Is.
Yes. You said yes? Yes, they do. One-third, at least. That's pretty good. So it does happen. According to this, one-third of American vegetarians eat meat when they're drunk. I guess that's what we do when we're drunk. We do things that we wouldn't.
That's one, right?
Admit doing otherwise.
That's
the
right.
Remaining categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, science, and that's it.
Okay. Because that was odds and ends?
Yeah, they just took odds and ends.
Oh, that was? Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the one, things you should have known in school if you would have been paying attention, just because I'm a teacher. So.
All right. If something doesn't chew him first, how long can a termite have a rich and rewarding life? And that is the lifespan of a termite, maximum lifespan of a termite. Should have learned this in school.
Oh, my goodness. Really? Maybe if you went to, like, construction school or something. I'm going to guess.
How long could a termite live under ideal conditions, I guess? I mean,
well,
I guess it would be a lot of wood.
There's a lot of wood there, I guess.
No
I'm going to say a week.
Them.
Much
a
longer?
Week?
I don't know.
I remember looking at months, but probably not years.
Oh, okay, months.
I'll give you a hint. It's in years.
It is years?
Oh, well, there you go then.
Oh,
that explains so much about the wood at my house.
I think you'll find the termite is a very, the most German.
I'll go with 3 years.
Insects.
Okay, I'm going to.
Can't give the same hint every time. That's a big mistake in the quiz.
Andy said 3 years. Does that seem interesting?
Is that what you
want to
say?
Okay, yeah, 3 years.
No, it's up to 30 years.
Oh, holy cow!
Termite can live.
Wow.
Really?
Who'd have thought?
Oh, man.
Nature is amazing.
Yeah.
There's no reason for anything in nature.
How do they know? Do they, like, keep one?
Well, people have had termites for pets.
And they live.
They put little metal tags on their legs, and they
so they keep track of them, you know. And
seems bogus, but
keep them in wood, and they'll do fine for like 30 years.
There's a scientist out there with a box keeping them along.
Yeah.
Well, that's one right and one wrong.
Yeah.
And the remaining categories are current events, people,
that's a tough one.
Places, and science.
Andy.
Try people and places.
They're two different things. One's people, and one is places.
Let's go with people.
And places? People or places? Were you thinking more of people or more of places?
I was just liking the alliteration. I don't care.
Okay. Good news or bad news first?
Good
what do
news.
People prefer?
Oh, yeah. I think they always prefer good news first. I don't know. What do you think, Andy?
Andy?
Man, your gut worked last time. I'm in.
Maybe
no,
it,
bad bad
well,
news first. People say, you're going to tell me good news or bad news. What do you want to hear first? That people almost always say the bad news
really?
And get over
people
it.
Are weird.
When they're giving this stuff, people who are telling you this, you know, trying to conceal that, then they'll give you the good news first. First the good news.
Oh, and then here's the bad news.
Yes.
Okay.
First the good
Sorry,
news. Your brain surgery is operable. The bad news is Ben Carson is your physician. That's how you would say it.
Okay.
All right, that's one right and two wrong.
Well, I can't get any wronger.
The remaining categories are current events, places, and science.
Okay.
Well, let's try current events.
Current events, right out of the news.
Okay. Quick, go look things up online, Andy.
All right, how much of the 200,000-year-old mammoth was found in Idaho?
Do you
want like a percentage or a bone count?
No, I mean they found. I'll give you a hint. They found one thing, and they said the rest of it could be under there. Well, they found something of a 200,000-year-old mammoth in Idaho.
What do you think?
They found one thing, and it was.
You live closer. 12 to that
feet
area
long.
Than I do.
I'll tell you that it was 12 feet long. They found one thing.
It was 12 feet long.
From many tusks.
I would say like a tusk,
mammoth.
Maybe.
Oh yes.
I agree with them.
Yes. Okay, good. Come back here with the tusk.
Thanks, Andy.
So you're all tied up with two right and two wrong, and the remaining categories are places and science.
Just found the tusk. What happened to the rest of it, I wonder?
Oh, let's go with science.
Science it is.
Okay.
12-foot tusk, so it was an adolescent. Oh. You know that much. Oh, here we go. This is the tiebreaker here. The bulbous jellyfish. Does it pull or push its way through the water? Okay, you're a bulbous jellyfish.
I think you would push.
Or pull its way through
pull.
The water.
Or it would pull. I think it would pull.
Is it more of a pulling or a pushing motion?
I think it pulls.
They're very efficient, however they do it.
Yeah.
And they're very bulbous. Hence the
very
name.
Bulbous.
The bulbous jellyfish. Does it pull or push its way through the water?
Pull? Pull sounds good.
Yeah, pull.
You sure? Because before you're saying push.
Yeah, but I like to take hints from other people. I teach my students that. You got to look around the room and see what everybody else is doing. Yeah. And if
well,
they have a pencil out, you get a pencil out.
What am I, in class here? I don't need to hear that. And you say pull, Annie?
I did, but now I'm beginning to wonder if I regret that decision.
I don't know.
You don't know.
Tell me what else you regret, and we'll see if it qualifies.
Oh, man.
I think we're going to go with pull, Andy.
Pull?
We're going to go with pull. Pull it is.
Pull it is. Yay! Yes, congratulations. You win.
Lucy, you won a celebration of fine artisanal cheeses and their perfect companions from Fromagination, both rustic and refined, on Madison's historic Capitol Square. Andy, for Michael's views on socialism and geraniums, you'll find them in Something I Said, Innuendo, and Out the Other, including Michael's memoirs and song on the CD My Life the Musical from Terrace Books. And both of you can pair wild game, brats, Munster cheese, or red potatoes with the perfect balance of spice and zest found in a bottle of zesty horseradish mustard from The Mustard Girl, and treat your ears to a blend of Polish and French musical sensibility on the CD What Do You Know About Chopin? With consumptive free liner notes by Michael Feldman from Nimbus Records. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Well done. Thanks,
Looking
Lucy.
To keep the laughs going? Click over to notmuch.com. You can join our Facebook family, keep up with Michael's tweets, and play our online quiz. It's all available all the time at notmuch.com.
Hey, bulbous.
Join us for our next live broadcast of What Do You Know here at Monona Terrace next Saturday, November 14th. Our special guest will be Chicago Tribune film critic Michael Phillips. Information on tickets is available at notmuch.com.
Look what those kids missed, huh? The whole bulbous jellyfish thing would have been so cool in school.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Hannah Poth, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Technical Director Tom Blaine with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Kohlberg.
Thank you all for coming. Join us again. Get a chance. Drive from Alaska if you have to. Thank you for listening. Talk to you next week. Boys in the Band.
That's it for the boys in the band.
Definitely. Most definitely.
WRI, Public Radio International.